KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have 47 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny today with a high of 72. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We currently have cloudy skies, actually partly cloudy skies, and again, 47 degrees in Atlantic. The latest edition of the Iowa Drought Monitor shows significant improvements in all categories. The report shows none of the state is currently in extreme drought, and this week, almost 17% more of the state has escaped drought conditions altogether. In western and west central Iowa, the extreme drought we've been facing for months was reduced to severe drought status. Officials say the dramatic drought improvements came to many areas in the form of a multi-day rain event. Last week, measurable rain fell each day from September 6th through the 12th in Iowa locations such as Dubuque and Davenport, totaling 7.46 and 7.76 inches, respectively. During the same seven-day period, Moline, Illinois, received nearly 6 inches. Broad improvements were introduced where the heaviest rain fell, but some eastern sections of the Midwest remained dry and saw some of the development or expansion of abnormal dryness. In D0 category, extreme drought D3 was erased from Iowa, as mentioned, with only a patch of D3 remaining in far eastern Nebraska. By contrast, September 1st through the 15th rainfall totaled just 0.04 of an inch, or 3% of normal, in Indianapolis, Indiana, and half an inch, or 32% in St. Louis, Missouri. The Iowa Department of Public Health's coronavirus dashboard this morning said there were 370 new positive COVID-19 cases reported since 10 a.m. Wednesday, including 2 in Cass County. Positive test results statewide to date amount to 76,680. Officials say that 14 deaths have taken place for a total of 1,248 to date. Another death was reported in Pottawatomie County for a total of 37. It had been 4 days since the last death was reported in our area. Officials say 6,055 lab results have been processed since Wednesday. With the data showed of those, 5,360 came back negative and 669 were positive. A total of 717,518 Iowans have been tested for the virus, with recoveries amounting to 55,725 since the pandemic began. As for a positivity rate of 10.7%, the 14-day positivity rate statewide is 8.3%. Of those who died, 858 had pre-existing condition. 657 of the deaths took place at a long-term care facility. In the KJAN listening area, as mentioned, Cass County has 2 new cases for a total of 124. Adair County cases increased by 2 to 59. Audubon, Madison, and Shelby counties each have 3 new positive COVID-19 cases. There's 1 new case in Guthrie County, 20 new cases in Pottawatomie County, and 2 more cases in Union County. Across the state, hospitalizations are down by 20 to 271. Number of patients with the COVID-19 who are in an ICU is up 6 to 85. 34 people were admitted to a hospital with symptoms of the virus, 10 fewer than Wednesday, and 36 people are on ventilators. In western and southwest Iowa, hospitals in this area report 13 people are hospitalized with COVID-19. 7 are in an ICU, 2 were admitted over the past nearly 24 hours, and 1 person remains on a ventilator. There is one more long-term care facility outbreak at 39 as of this morning, with 925 patients and staff testing positive for COVID-19. 453 have recovered. Now, you can take a look at the list for Cass and their surrounding counties as far as the number of total cases to date, the number of persons having recovered, and the number of deaths in those counties, if there were any, reported. Northwest Iowa's Sioux County continues to have the highest coronavirus positivity rate in Iowa at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. The state's online dashboard indicated Sioux County's COVID positivity rate was 27%. Reporter Mark Buss has checked with the county's public health agency, which is called Community Health Partners.
In an email response from Community Health Partners, officials there say they've been closely watching the 14-day positivity rate over the last month and are very concerned about it. They say they've been working with the Iowa Department of Public Health to help evaluate what is driving Sioux County's percentage rates up. They know for sure that the county's experiencing community spread. At this time, however, they do not have any data to support that there has been a specific outbreak, nor do they have any data that supports that the colleges are driving this number. CHP is continuing to dig deep into what factors are driving the rate and will make a statement when they have those answers. Reporting from Sioux Center, I'm Mark Buss.
Two of the counties that are adjacent to Sioux County have the second and third highest COVID positivity rates. Lyon County's rate is nearly 22%. Plymouth County is at 16%. Airports are among the many economic victims of the pandemic, and while federal relief is helping, changes may come to smaller cities. After falling to just 5% of normal passenger traffic in April, Des Moines Airport has seen a steady increase, although the numbers remain low. Executive Director Kevin Foley said the airport and airlines are working to ensure safety from the coronavirus, but many people are still uncomfortable flying, and some vacation spots remain to be closed.
I had hoped and still hope that we maybe could end the year at 50% of normal traffic.
Foley says the Federal CARES Act money is helping to keep the airport afloat and fully functional.
Des Moines received $23 million that we can draw against, and we are, and that's going to get us through probably the first quarter of 2021.
At the moment, he says no airlines are pulling out of Des Moines, but other airports are facing steeper challenges. American Airlines wants to stop flights to Sioux City, though United may fill that void. American also plans to stop flying to Dubuque in early October, and it's not clear whether those flights will resume. Outgoing U.S. Ambassador to China, former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, said he'll help Republicans campaigning in his native Iowa after returning home next month. Branstad also told Hong Kong's Phoenix Television that he considers the Phase 1 trade deal between China and the U.S. as the biggest accomplishment of his 3 years in China. The deal reached in January amid the ongoing tariff war between the sides represented a truce, but it did not address the more fundamental complaints of the American side. Branstad said he will campaign for President Trump, Senator Joni Ernst, and others purely as a volunteer. Well, a Corning farmer testified before Congress Wednesday that a Trump administration rule that changes the definition of federally protected waterways offers clarity for the nation's farmers. Ray Gesser farms corn and soybeans with his son Chris near Corning. Speaking before the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, Gesser said the previous rule was overreaching, defining land where water flowed after rain as federally regulated.
The EPA wrote a rule that threatened my farm with jaw-dropping penalties and even criminal prosecution for killing, spraying, or disturbing the water of the U.S.
This spring, President Trump and Environmental Protection Agency finalized the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. The new rule places the Obama-era waters of the U.S. rule in the Clean Water Act and changes the definition of what qualifies as a water of the U.S. Implemented in 2015, the WOTUS was developed to address issues over clarity with federal waterways. Following years of court battles, the Trump administration suspended the rule in September of 2019 and implemented a new rule this spring. Gesser said that the new rule allows flexibility for farmers to manage conservation of their land.
Our landscapes are diverse, so there is no perfect model. Instead, we need the ability to make the best decisions possible to successfully manage and mitigate what's out of our control.
Gesser said the farmers and ranchers have rather care about having clean water and preserving their land because it's how they feed their family and the nation.
This rule brings certainty and predictability into focus, giving farmers like me and my son Chris the freedom to farm, all while achieving important regulatory oversight. This new rule does not change who oversees permanent waterways. Instead, it ensures that states can enforce their own environmental laws to position farmers and rural communities for long-term success.
The new rule defines federal waterways as territorial seas and traditional navigable waters, perennial and intermittent tributaries, certain lakes, ponds, and impoundments, and wetlands that are adjacent to jurisdictional waters. The act also spells out that rainfall, groundwater, and roadside ditches are not subject to federal control.
Rather than force a square peg in a round hole with a one-size-fits-all approach, it's our government's best interest to provide research, technical assistance, and incentives encouraging innovation. This approach will help farmers grow more food using fewer resources, protect their soil, improve soil health, cleaner water, and restore wildlife habitat.
Gesser is past president of both the Iowa Soybean Association and American Soybean Association. He's the owner and operator of Gesser Farms, where he raises corn and soybeans on 5,400 acres. And Atlantic FFA advisor Eric Miller yesterday said in the spirit of the tradition, the Iowa State Fairgrounds was excited to host the 2020 Fair Special Edition Iowa 4-H and FFA Livestock Show presented by Alliant Energy. Miller said held with the same prestige and competition found at the Iowa State Fair, the 2020 Special Edition showcased the superior showmanship, hard work, and determination of Iowa's FFA youth. The purpose of the event, he said, was to support the mission statement of the State Fair by providing an opportunity for FFA youth to showcase their hard work and livestock projects. This year, five members of the Atlantic FFA participated in a variety of shows. To begin the first weekend of the fair, Colton Becker won the Grand Champion Draft Horse with his horse Fire. He also won the cart class. During the second weekend, the Atlantic FFA had three members show swine and poultry. Sophomore Brett Dreger showed a purebred spotted pig and stood seventh in his class, winning a blue ribbon. In the poultry show, Atlantic FFA member Cody McCready won the reserve champion FFA breeding goose with his Chinese goose. Junior Rio Johnson had an outstanding day, winning five purple and five blue ribbons. She placed first in class and went on to be named champion AOSB with her Phoenix rooster. In Creole Old English game bantams, both pullet and cockerel received purples. The pullet was named reserve champion game bantam. Rio finished also by showing finished the show by winning reserve champion English bird as well. Miller says in the final weekend, senior Taylor McCready showed four dairy goats. She won grand champion overall and recorded grade and grand champion junior for all other breed. Taylor also showed the reserve champion senior doe, all other breed, and reserve champion overall, all other breed. In the final drive, she won the reserve supreme champion with her FFA dairy goats. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.